is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice. That's right. Can I just say real quick, man, that was such an awesome word given by my awesome mom for announcements about how just setting the vision before you. Take that. I mean, we could have just left right after that, honestly, because you know what's amazing? It reminded me this, is that, and like in Revelation, it talks about when we come before the Father, when we're all there with Him after the rapture, He tells us what our real name is. God knows who you were before you were even born. He knew you before you were even a thought to somebody. And you're not just a random group of cells that you're not here just because, you know, your mom and dad got together. You're here because there's a time and a season to be born, and you're here today. So there's purpose for your life. So I'm really excited today about the assignment that the Holy Spirit has given me to talk about today, and I really feel like He's going to speak to a lot of our hearts today, cause as He's been speaking to mine. But let's start off with prayer real quick. Holy Spirit, we just invite You into this place.
Yes.
Father, I thank You, Lord, that You would be our treasure, that You would be our everything, Father God. Thank You, Lord, that we would see ourselves the way that You see us, Lord, that in everywhere we go as we leave here today, Lord, as we work or school, family, Father God, that Lord, we would represent You in everything that we have and everything we say and everything that we do, Lord, because You are everything. We were created for You, God. We thank You, Father, for it in Jesus' name. So today, I'm going to be talking to you today, and I wanted to ask you this question. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure, okay? If you have your Bibles, please open up to Matthew 25, verse 14. Say amen when you get there. Amen. I'm already there, so amen. Amen, amen. Give you just a second. Want everyone to go there. It's so important to dive into the Word. So just remember, Matthew 25, verse 14, okay? Verse 14 says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by this. By the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted them his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had trusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." Verse 26, "But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Say, ouch! Ouch, okay, that is harsh. Okay, so we see here this guy who's given part of his master's treasure, part of his wealth. And what's his first reaction to do with it? Bury it. Okay, so I've got a little treasure chest for you here today, just for a little visual for us. So he gets this treasure from his master. First thing he does, fear, bury. Okay? So it reminds me, I'll put this right here. It reminds me a lot, I think I'll just put it right here. So it reminds me of a lot of the plot lines of any pirate movie you've ever seen in your life. Okay? So a pirate spends most of his life or all of his life plundering, doing whatever, gaining all of this wealth, accumulating all this treasure, and then he buries it. But it's okay, because he has a map. He has a map with a little dotted line and a big X that if someone were to find that map, they could find the treasure. Okay? And it always, I always wondered, why on earth would you do that? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But here's the thing. You bury what you don't want anyone to find on you. Okay? The treasure that God has given us is Jesus. Amen. If you're to bury him, it's because you don't want anyone to find him on you. Okay? Jesus was already buried one time. And he cannot be buried anymore. I'm going to tell you today, if you bury Jesus in the ground, then there's no relationship with him. You don't know your Father. And that's a hard word to say, but you don't know him. Because if you really knew him, you would know that the treasure he gave you, you would see it with your eyes. Jesus said, those who have eyes to see, see, and ears to hear, hear. You would know it, and it would be the most valuable thing in the world to you. You couldn't help but give it away wherever you go. So, unfortunately, many Christians today, they'll come into church on Sunday. And they'll open their little treasure chest and be like, yay, God, fill me up with more treasure. You know, fill me up. Oh, this is awesome. I feel great. They walk out the door on Sunday and then like, oh, here it is. Okay, I'm gonna put it right there and then go live the rest of my life. That way, it's at the front door of the church. When they can come back next Sunday, they can just dig it back up and get it right there. Or maybe even some of them, you may take it home with you. But then you drive up to work, you go to work, and then the front door of your office place, it's like, okay, this looks like a good spot to put this. Time to go focus on work, focus on making a living. Time to go to put this down, put it away, and then just pick it up when I come back home. Can I tell you that the one place that Jesus wants to show up the most is your workplace? Where is your treasure at? I want to ask you, okay? Is your security found in where you're working? Okay, and we're talking about putting God first. That's the series that we're in right now. But don't you think the place that God wants to be first is in your workplace as well? Because you come here, but you got to spend 40 hours a week somewhere. Okay, you come and visit here, but you live out there. Yes. God cares about all of it. Amen. Not just one part of it. He cares about all of it. So when you take it and you just bury it in the ground, you may have a misconception of what's been given to you. You may not see the real value of it. Okay? The thing about the kingdom of God, what Jesus came to establish, is that it goes where you go. Amen. Yeah. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Yes. And he came to establish his kingdom, so it is in heaven as so on earth. Okay? In the kingdom, you only receive more when you're willing to give away everything that you have. Part of the reason you may not have seen increase in your life, no matter what area it is because you're holding on to what you have, not willing to give it away. When you're willing to give everything you have because you know the one who gave it to you originally, that's when increase comes in your life. Yes. If you feel like you're in a place today, doesn't matter whether you go to work, school, whether you're at home with your family, if you're not using the gift that God has given you, which comes from Jesus, it's rooted and founded in who you are in him, then you're going to feel dry. You're going to feel like Christianity is just something you do, something you confess, rather than something you become. That's right. Okay? If your gift is encouragement, encourage to the fullest amount that you can. No matter what your gift is, you're called to love. That's right. Everywhere you go, okay? Everything is rooted and grounded in love. It doesn't matter. There's not one gift that's even greater than the other, and what's important is that you use it. Because when you use it, when you're faithful in the little that God has given you, That's when he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It doesn't matter how big it is. It could be the littlest thing ever. It could be just one thing that you say to your coworkers, one thing that you say to your family, one thing you say to a schoolmate. But are you faithful in what God has given you in the moment? That's when more comes, okay? What holds us back from giving that away? What holds us back? Fear. Fear will take your eyes off of him who gave you the treasure in the first place and back into yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you notice the thing that Jesus said? He said, if you want to follow me, he didn't say deny the devil and follow me. He says, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
It starts with dying to yourself. Fear is a reminder of who you were before Jesus. Okay? Because when Jesus comes into a place, perfect love comes in and you realize, I'm never going to die.
Yeah,
you could kill me. Yeah, you could take everything from me. But I have an eternal value. And I can't help but give you what I've been given. It's not about doing things to be something, okay? Sometimes we try to do something for God in order to feel like God loves us. When in fact, we can turn blue in the face just trying and trying and trying. But the fact is, if you don't start where he finished, you'll be running in the wrong direction, okay? If you don't start where he finished, you'll be running your whole life in the wrong direction, where intimacy is where God transforms your life. That's what God desires, is intimacy with you and me. Okay? 1 John 4:8 says this, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love." If there's fear, we have not experienced his love. Sometime when confusion comes in on what we're doing or who we are, you have to go back to the basics. You have to go back to his love, knowing him. And you root yourself in there. You don't leave. We're in such a digital age where everything is at the click of our finger. But God says, wait, come to me and just soak in who I've told you to be. There's life, so much life found in that. So I have another question for you guys. Are we more afraid of what could happen to us if we talk about Jesus or we tell people their value in him at work? Are we more afraid of what would happen to us if we did, rather than being afraid of what will happen to them if we don't?
Come on.
Okay.
Right.
Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay. If your security is found in your paycheck, don't you know that God gave you that job in the first place? If you were to lose it because you were genuinely loving people, not slapping them with your Bible, okay, I'm not talking about that. But if you're genuinely loving people because that is who God is love, he's created us in his image, and Jesus restores that image. If you get fired because of that, do you not believe that the creator of the universe could find you another job?
Come on.
Okay?
Yes.
Our security is found in him completely.
Amen.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, a coworker of mine, I've been working since last September, since I graduated college, and it's been great. I love it. Kind of in a corporate environment, and going into it, I'd hear from a lot of my friends, oh, corporate, you know, it's just be ready. It's a really dark environment, you know, and I understand that. I understand that, but the darkness around you doesn't define the light that's in you. Okay?
Right.
Light overcomes darkness, and I understand where you're coming from, but it's not from a place of it is finished. Okay? So a coworker emailed me a couple weeks ago, and I was so encouraged. She's a believer. I've gotten to find just several other believers where I work, and it's great. I pretty much just got to the point where I ask people, hey, what do you believe about God? And it's just like, you know, just asking them. And it's because I love them. I want to know. I want to find out about their life. But She emailed this group of just the kind of young adults who are believers, and she was just so convicted and inspired about this message she heard. And she was saying how the workplace is sometimes a place where priorities are mixed up and we focus on serving man and trying to perform. And she was telling me about this sermon that she had heard earlier the week of Pastor JP, that's all I know who it was, but he said, "I could go buy a plane ticket to anywhere in the world and preach the gospel, but the one place that I cannot go is back to my old job because I don't have an access badge to get in." God has placed you where you are today, whether it's work, school, or anything, to make a spiritual investment into the people and the atmosphere of where you are.
Right.
I'll say that again. God has placed you where you are to make a spiritual investment into the people and the atmosphere for where you're placed, okay?
Amen.
How does that look? Okay, sometimes we think, you know, there's two extremes, I guess. You may feel convicted if you walk into a place and people just aren't on the floor shaking with repentance and love. But you know what loving people looks like? Seed.
Yes.
The kingdom is grown in seed form.
That's right.
But you won't sow seed if you're afraid.
Come on.
Okay.
You won't sow seed if you don't know who your father is.
Amen.
If you don't know who you are. If you don't know your value. That's where it starts. The kingdom is grown through seeds. Plant them. Do it. Okay? The thing about investments about spiritual investments, like we talked about, is it starts with taking a risk. In the world of investing, it's almost impossible. You can pick investments with really low risk margins, but those are the ones that you have to have for a long time for them to accumulate anything. But the ones that guarantee the biggest payoff are the ones with the biggest risk. Okay? I heard a pastor one time ask me, he said, "Do you know how you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Okay? Because there can't be any faith without any risk involved. Okay? Sometimes you have to step out of the boat before you can walk on the water, okay? And sometimes you have to tell somebody their value and without knowing how they'll respond, okay? It's from a place of love, always, but you have to do it. People are dying. And at the end of time, there's a sheep line and a goat line. And I don't want to look over and see people I could have touched, or at least didn't try to, be in that line and look over. Why? I just wanted to know. It's not just about heaven, it's about now too.
That's right.
People need Jesus more than ever, okay?
Yes.
And it's not just to go to heaven someday. It's for heaven to come now and build that kingdom inside of us, okay? There's so much that God wants to do, okay? But the question is, are you willing to risk everything you've been given in order that one of the seeds will reproduce? Okay? Are you willing to risk it all? Proverbs 29, verse 25 says this: "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." That's so opposite of what we were taught as growing up in the world, okay? You have to walk on eggshells. You have to be this and this, and it's for your benefit. It always comes back to, hey, this is for your benefit. Whereas self is the thing that needs to be dead in order to follow him, because we're raised to life in Christ.
Amen.
The old has gone and the new has come. Okay? It all comes down to knowing him. Okay? As we can see in the story, the third servant wasn't willing to make that investment. He wasn't willing to risk it all. In fact, verse 24 says this: "Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.'" What separated this servant from the others was that he didn't know who his master was. Okay? He said, "I knew you to be a harsh man." I'm going to tell you that the number one reason why you wouldn't give what you've been given would be because you don't know who your father is. Okay? Because if you knew the love that God had for you, if you really knew, if you just spent time, put everything away, and just asked Him to show you how much He means, that you mean to Him, then you won't need that from anything else. You won't need that from your job. You won't need that from people. You can wake up to love rather than needing it. Okay? Don't bury your treasure because you don't know who your Father is, because He's revealed Himself through Jesus. Okay? Matthew 6:22, verse 23 says this: "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. But when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." Let me break this down for you. Your eye is what you see with.
Yes.
It's what you have perspective with. If your perspective on God is not that He loves you, or that He's a harsh God, or that He is the thief, then you'll never be able to worship Him. If you just see God from a sovereign point of view and not a loving relationship, then you'll see everything in the world that goes wrong and affiliate it with God. Whereas Jesus said, the thief comes to steal.
That's right.
The thief comes to kill, and He comes to destroy. I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Life abundantly is found in knowing who you are in Him. From that flows everything else. If you seek the blessings more than you seek Him, then you're not seeking the root of the well. You're seeking just the water down there. It's a well that comes from within and flows out. Okay? From you will flow living water out to everywhere you go. So I ask you again, where is your treasure? Where is it found? Is it buried? Or do you give it out everywhere you go? You see, the amazing thing about this treasure is that it was never meant to be hidden, never meant to be used for selfish gain, never meant to you know, be used in a monetary kind of form where you go buy a mansion with it or anything like that. It's meant to be given away. Because God knows to love, you give. Okay, for God so loved the world that He gave. He represented a way for us to know how to love people is to give. Whether it's, it has to be everything you are. I'll just put it like that. Everything, no matter what it is. Okay? God is good. Okay? So, at your job, specifically, we'll stick with that. To seek the kingdom first, to seek God first in your job, does not mean laying down excellence in everything you do. Okay? I want to clarify that, because in Colossians 3:23, I love this verse, and I think about it every day when I go into work. It says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." When you go to school, when you go to work, the master you're serving is Christ, okay? "But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites." So that means if you go to work, you sweep the floor, okay? You work really hard, and no one says thank you. You don't have to get offended, because you're doing it for Him and not for you.
Amen.
When no one is looking, you do the best that you can do, because you're working for Him and not for you, okay? You're not looking to please people. You're looking to please your Father.
Yes.
And I tell you what, you will do the best job than anyone on your team, anyone in your department, when you're serving Him rather than just people, okay? I was talking with one guy at work. I thought he was a Christian. So I just asked him. I was in the walking out the parking lot. I go, "Hey, are you a Christian?" And he goes, "I am." It kind of threw him off guard a little bit. I enjoy doing that to people sometimes. But and so we're talking, and I go, "It's been really cool. I've gotten to meet, like, it was still when I was there pretty early on, and I go, I've gotten to meet a couple other believers, but I know there's a lot of people here who need them." And he goes, "Yeah," he goes, "I noticed this." He goes, "They actually tend to hire Christians because they know, they've seen what kind of work they produce, and they want more of that." Okay? I want to tell you that everybody wants a king like Jesus, if we'll represent him well. Okay? Everybody wants him when we represent him well, okay? As a believer, everything you do represents who God is. You are the only Jesus that some people see. And God is a giver. As we can see in the story, gives life. He gives everything for us, okay? So as this passage comes to a close, we read what happens to the money that was given to the third servant. In verse 28, it says this. It says, "Then he ordered, 'Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away.'" This verse is a call to become a giver everywhere you go. Okay? God has given you the greatest treasure that you could ever have, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The darling of heaven was given to earth, and he went through everything. He came as a baby. He could have just come, boom, you know, adult male coming down here. But no, he chose to go through everything. You don't pay a price for something unless you feel like it's worth it. Yeah. You don't leave the car lot unless you feel like you got the best deal on the lot, okay? And I mean, I've even seen it through my mom. You don't go to a store and not get anything unless you think you got like the best sale, okay? God knew what he was paying for. Yeah. And he knew why. Because you were worth restoring back.
That's right.
To the original created value.
That's right.
And what he saw in you. And even on your deepest and darkest day, he hasn't forgotten about your value. Okay? And that is something, man, that is, even at your lowest moment, the way to commune with God is say, "Father, I know what I did just hurt your heart, but I also know that that's not who I am anymore because you paid a price for me. Thank you that you're on the throne and you're pleading in my defense. Father, thank you that you're for me. I receive your forgiveness and thank you for that has paid for it all." That is how you replace a lie with the truth in your life, is communion with God. Revelation of who God is destroys lies in your life. That's where breakthrough comes in. Okay? So lastly, I want to ask you one more time, where is your treasure? Or maybe a better question is, what is your treasure? Okay? Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21 says this, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will also be." God sent Jesus to transform you back to what you were created to be. When your heart is transformed, okay, your heart becomes in alignment with his. And the things that he longs for and he cries out for, okay, become what you long for and when you cry out for, okay? And I'll tell you this. If you want to see God moves when he sees your heart move, when it's in alignment with his. Okay? I'll say that again. God moves when your heart is moved. Okay? Because he's given you his heart. When you see people through a different lens, rather than they're getting what they deserve, and just, oh, they don't know. They just don't know. Then that's when God moves. Okay? That is the key to breakthrough right there. When your heart is in line with his, your heart will break for what his breaks for. And then I think of Elijah. He comes up so randomly in the Bible. Like a lot of people, you see him go from like, okay, this person was son of so-and-so and so-and-so. But he just shows up to the king and he goes, "It's not going to rain." But you know what's amazing? Is that God signed that check.
That's
He didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," because there was such a relationship there with him that he just said, he just showed that he goes, "It's not going to rain for this many years." And God was like, "Yep, I'm in agreement with that."
Yeah, come on.
God will move in your workplace when your heart is in line with his. He'll move in your school when your heart is in line with his. Okay? And it's simple. We only have one message here at Lake House Church. It's the gospel. It's like 400 hours. We just pick a section of it every week. But it is simple. You have to start where he finished. So last time, where is your treasure? Because God treasures you more than anything. Okay? He sent his son, Jesus, for you. Okay? Now is the time where I want to ask you, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want to look at you to just introspect and ask Holy Spirit, what's he saying to you? Have you been burying your treasure? Is your treasure found in Jesus? Okay? Maybe that's a good place. Is your treasure found in, and if it is it in the ground? Is it buried? Holy Spirit is going to move in your lives today. Okay? Because when his treasure, okay, when your treasure is found in him, then nothing is impossible. Okay? Are you treasuring your job, security in life, anything more than you treasure him? I want to invite you to a better place. And it's so simple. You know where it starts? A sincere heart towards God and what he's done for you. I want to ask you today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, he's the greatest king you'll ever know. He's the greatest father you'll ever know. If you've given your life to him, but you've buried him in the ground, it's time to grab a shovel. Okay? Because putting God first, okay, requires that our treasure be found in him and him alone. We're going to pray real quick, okay? And from the sincerity of your heart, you want more of him. I want you to pray it with me. Just repeat after me. Okay? And God knows your heart. This is where it starts. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, whether it's starting now or you're digging it out of the ground, all God wants is just for you to come back to him, because you were created for him. You were created for a purpose. You were created to know him, the creator of the universe. Let's pray, guys. Father, just repeat after me. Father, I want to know you. Be my treasure. Be my everything. I don't want to bury you in the ground. I want you to be my king. Holy Spirit, come. I lay down my life to take the one you've given for me. Thank you, Father. Amen. God is a good, good Father. Love that he's put in your heart. He's starting to fill people's hearts with love right now. Okay? Know that's him, that he loves you. Every broken wound will be healed when your treasure is found in him, because he treasures you, okay? You're able to give it everywhere you go. It's no longer about you, because he has shown you who you are. God is so good. Let's stand up for, I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys as we dismiss. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord give you his favor and grant you his peace. So go now in his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.